Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Triangulation is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Triangulation, episode 110, Massimo Bonzi, Arduino. Triangulation is brought to you by Umano, interesting content read to you by professional voice artists. Stay informed on the go. Umano is available for your iPhone, iPad, or Android device, and you can download it absolutely free in the App Store or on Google Play. Umano. For more information, visit umanoapp.com. And by audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/triangulation.
It's time for Triangulation, and we actually have three legs on the stool this time. We are going to have a lot of fun. Triangulation is the show we do each week where we talk to really interesting people who are doing amazing things. And I'll tell you, one of the great things about covering technology is that is the space nowadays where some of the most interesting stuff is happening. So it's so much fun for us. I'm inviting Iyaz Akhtar to join us on the show. Hi, Iyaz.
Hey, Leo.
From Know How and Tech News Today, because Iyaz is a maker. You've worked with Arduino. In fact, we did an Arduino project, didn't we?
It was a really early episode. We were messing with an Arduino. We did a very simple thing because it's a great starter.
He's learning, yeah. Well, you will be thrilled to know that we have one of the co-founders of the Arduino project on with us today. Massimo Bonzi is a designer and a maker, and he's at Maker Faire right now as we record this. Massimo, great to have you on Triangulation.
Hi.
Can you describe for those who don't know what the Arduino is? What your goals were in designing one?
So the Arduino, it's essentially a small computer the size of a credit card. It's not a very powerful computer. It's the same kind of computer that you would find in a microwave oven or kind of, you know, these sort of very simple appliances. But it's actually, you know, the fact that it's simple and cheap and can be embedded into almost anything, it can be used to build a lot of different interactive objects. You can use it to build art installations. You can use it to build all sorts of things. So it's really the motherboard for making lots of cool projects. And what we did, you know, this kind of programming has been around forever. It's called embedded programming. What we try to do there is to make it simple for people that don't have a background in electronics and software to be able to approach this type of programming and build these cool objects without, you know, having to have a degree in electronics engineering.
When I was at Google I.O. the other day, they had Arduino, little Arduinos all over the place. It said something like, we're keeping an eye on you, and it was measuring temperature and noise. I don't know what it was measuring, all sorts of things. But it was great because they were the open circuits. And it was, I mean, it's Google's developer conference, and everyone there, of course, knows what Arduino is. Probably half of them have done Arduino projects. It's something that, when did you start this project?
So, well, Arduino comes out of this work that I was doing when I was teaching in a design school in Italy, and the objective of my course was really to take designers who don't have a background in software or electronics and teach them how to use these small embedded computers to prototype, you know, the objects of the future. So, you know, when you're an interaction designer, so like the most modern kind of designer, you don't design chairs or tables, you design objects that interact with people, and you need to design the kind of interaction, and you need some way to prototype this idea. So I started teaching in this school in the northwest of Italy in 2002, and Arduino sort of started happening in 2004, and it got the Arduino name in March 2005.
What does Arduino mean?
Oh, Arduino is a person name. What happens is that when I was working on Arduino, I was in the city in the northwest of Italy called Ivrea, where there was this King Arduino that was kind of the self-proclaimed first king of Italy. But he was completely self-proclaimed. And it was the year 1000. So, you know, you could claim you're the king of Italy because, you know, the news wouldn't travel. Now it's kind of harder to do that. And you know, everything there is called Arduino. It's Arduino Square. So we were in this bar having drinks called the Arduino Bar. And I thought, well, you know, let's call this thing Arduino. We can always change the name later. And it stuck. It works.
I declare it the king of making.
Yes, it is the king of making now.
Massimo, this is an open source piece of hardware. A lot of people can make these themselves, right?
Yeah, so I think the novelty of our project was also the fact that we decided immediately to release all the designs for all the electronic parts. So you can actually download a CAD file from our website and send it to a factory, and they will manufacture the printed circuit board for you, and you can assemble the board, or you can run a production. The only thing that's sort of the only thing we control in the project is the trademark. So if you want to call yourself Arduino, you have to talk to us. But if you want to use our technology, the software, the hardware, the documentation, you're free to do that.
One of the crazy things about the Arduino is what I've seen is this: the pricing is so low that it just lets you start really easy. There's low barrier to entry. And then the programming language is just so simple that, and since it's a physical device, I love making things actually move. Instead of just seeing, you know, a little image show up, the Arduinos make things happen. Have you seen any crazy things either at Maker Faire, or what's one of your favorite Arduino-based projects that you've seen?
Oh, God, you must have seen 1,000.
Yes, it's becoming increasingly difficult to have a favorite product, yeah. Because the project, because there's so many of them. I think there's a lot of interesting projects that are less funny, but they're very substantial, like people who are making, you know, machines that analyze DNA based on Arduino that are open source as well.
Wow.
So with $500, you build one of the parts that you need into the sort of DNA analysis process, or people who've made, you know, flying helicopters that kind of fly by themselves based on Arduino. That's the whole DIY drones community that's run by Chris Anderson. They used to run Wired magazine, and or people who are making all these open source 3D printers. So those are amazing stuff, because we have open source and cheap ways of doing things that a few years ago were proprietary, incredibly expensive. And obviously, you find also the chair that tweets whenever you fart. You know.
I hope somebody didn't really do that, did they?
Oh, they did.
There was also an Arduino-based project where I think I saw around the same time was somebody who hooked it up to Twitter. It was attached to a honeymooning couple's bed.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Oh,
I believe
yes.
That was Arduino.
Yeah.
It tweeted every time
oh,
the...
Yes.
Kind of projects
happen all the time.
The duration.
In your TED Talk, you say you don't need anyone's permission to make something great. And that's kind of the philosophy here, right?
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, when you work on these open source technologies where, you know, the documentation is freely available, the software and the hardware are there for you to analyze in detail, then you get a lot of head start for whatever project you try to build. And you don't need to sign any NDAs, no contracts. You don't need to, you know, fill a form, register for anything. You just download it and you use it. And I think that's what's changing right now in the maker movement, this ability to access a lot of information and a lot of technologies at very cheap price, or, you know, even for free. And that's really groundbreaking for me.
And when you go to a place like Maker Faire and you see all of these people doing things that I'm sure you never imagined, it must be very gratifying to you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's you know, I still find myself, you know, in a way affected by what I see. You know, I get sometimes a bit even emotional when I see maybe like a 12-year-old kid who's making circuits and he's starting a company and he has a business card that says CEO.
Isn't that awesome? Yeah.
It's just, you know, I don't know. It's crazy.
And then there's the silly stuff like the chair, or this is an Arduino-based kissing evaluator, measures how good your kissing skills are. I don't know what their criteria are. Do you still do anything with Arduino, Massimo? I mean, do you have the time even?
So I don't get the time to do that much myself, but I have the advantage that I still teach a few classes throughout the year. It's important for me to stay connected with the education where the product came from, because I do a lot of the sort of R&D by working.
Tell you, we're having a little trouble with Massimo. We're going to get him back. But while we're working on that, let me just mention one of our fine sponsors.
Umano. That's Italian for human. Wouldn't it be awesome if every time you get in your car, You could listen to thought-provoking articles read by professional readers, just like a podcast or an audiobook, but it's current stuff. Umano is an app that discovers the most intriguing articles and news stories from a variety of trusted sources, then has them read to you by professional voice artists. You can listen whenever it's convenient, now during your commute, of course, but also at a workout, breakfast at home. I know, you know, you listen to podcasts, you listen to audiobooks, but sometimes you want to get current events, long reads, that kind of thing. You can browse a wide selection of topics and publishers, personalize your news preferences, make playlists, share your favorite articles via email and social media, and best of all, it's free. That's right. Download it for free. iOS or Android. It's in the Play Store, in the App Store. It is really incredible. It is commercial free. There are no ads. You can make playlists. You can listen to them offline. Yes, you can download them ahead of time. Get on the plane and listen offline. Stay informed on the go for workout, for commute, for housework, for any time. Umano, U-M-A-N-O. It's Italian for human. Humans reading, not machines. Great, interesting, informative news and current affairs. You got to try it. It's free. Why not? U-M-A-N-O, Umano, on the Play Store or the App Store. Try it today. You're going to like it. Now we get back to triangulation.
I think we have him back. Massimo Bonzi is our guest. Hi, Massimo. He's at Maker Faire right now as we record this, where I'm sure it's almost like the triumphal entrance of the king when Massimo Bonzi comes in, one of the founders of the Maker movement, really, by creating the... You actually now have a column in Make Magazine, which is really cool.
Yeah. Well, the idea was to have, give a little of a glimpse about what happens in Arduino when we make the products that we release. So I started off by essentially letting my friend David Quartier, who is one of the founders of Arduino with me, explain the process that led to us making the Arduino robot, which is a small educational robot. But then every month I hope I can, you know, open the kind of pull the curtain and let people see how we do things.
Very cool. Yeah, that Arduino robot reminds me of the little turtle graphics that the early days of Logo, where you could actually control a physical turtle and it would draw. Except now the kids are not only, you know, learning a Logo-like language to make it draw, but they're actually building the turtle itself from scratch, which is, I think, really important. Talk a little bit about bits versus atoms, hardware versus software. The Maker movement seems to be a movement to get back to the physical creation.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we spent a lot of many years, excited about the possibility of that the web brings. So there was a lot of work done on web programming, web stuff. And you know, I think these things are, they go through cycles. And we are now in a place where people are, they want to go back to objects. They want to go back to things. They like the idea that you can make stuff. And I think also this, the technology has gone through a cycle where doing electronics and doing like fairly complex computers is becoming really cheap and really simple. And so this sort of generated this movement of people willing to go back into making, learning about electronics. I think what's interesting is that a lot of these people are not, engineers by training. There are people who come from other fields that they learn about electronics and they want to do, they're going to go back to building physical things. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Massimo, you touched upon how children are using Arduinos, and there's a lot of education-based things you guys are working on. Could you expand on that a little bit? Because the thing is, our producer, Karsten, his kid is in Hacker Scouts, and one of the first
Hacker Scouts.
He gets to play with Arduinos and made these Hello World things. It seems like you're having a lot of impact on geeks from the very beginning. What do you think about that?
Oh, for me, it's amazing. You know, the I learned electronics when I was a kid. I was taking everything apart around the house, so they gave me this kit. There was a bunch of electronic parts in magnetic cubes that you just snap together. And I started to build circuits when I was 8. And so I think that, you know, you can learn as a kid. You can explain, in a way, the world of electronics in a way that children can understand and they can use it as a tool. But also for me, it's also very important, this idea that we have to go back to the point where technology is something that you can create with and you can influence and you can build things with, not because we are going through a cycle also of people sitting in front of computers clicking.
Yes.
So, you know, people look like they're peripherals of the computer.
Yes.
And you know, things like the... Some people use the iPad like the TV set of the 21st century. They just use it to consume media. And in a way, I want people to understand that everything that you see has been created by somebody, and you can build it. It can affect the world around you. And technology is a great way to affect the 21st century.
Yeah, I think that that's true. That unfortunately. Because computer technology has become so easy that we've become disassociated with it. It's like cars, from how it works. You could ask somebody how a car works. I think fewer and fewer people know that. Certainly nobody could build a car anymore, and nobody could probably build a computer mm-hmm. anymore. So it's really important, I think, especially with kids, to get them back in touch with. Otherwise, where are we going to get innovation from? They've got to learn this stuff, not just to be consumers, but to be creators.
Yes, totally. And also, I think one of the nice things about the maker movement is that sometimes, you know, makers don't really know what they get into. So sometimes they tackle problems that are actually complex.
Yeah.
But since they haven't got a clue, they just go through and they try to do it. While, you know, people who are training a certain discipline, they say, oh, no, this thing is difficult. I'm not going to tackle it unless we have like 100 engineers and we have the money. And then one guy, maybe like a group of people in a hackerspace, they do it. And I like that a lot. You know, I think the world doesn't need another photo sharing application for mobile phones. You know, it needs more of this innovation that impacts the life of people for real.
I agree. Although I have to say I'm a more software oriented than hardware oriented, but I think having something that you could then put sensors on or have wheels on, or you know, you could make a physical expression, does make software more interesting. Tell me about the programming language in Arduino. What is it like?
So the programming language in Arduino is essentially C++. But the thing we did is that we sort of tried to provide a standard library of functions that it's designed to be fairly simple to understand. And we also worked at sort of removing some of the things that make C++ scary. Like, for example, you don't need to have like a million include in order to, you know, make an LED blink.
Uh-huh.
In order to make an LED blink, you need maybe 7 lines of code or something like that. So it's, you know, it's very straightforward.
Is that your hello world for Arduino?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In the electronics
world. I think that's
world,
what we did.
We made a servo move. And that's, like you were saying, like you're a software guy. I'm a hardware guy. So I love seeing these things interact. Because, so again, like I'm saying, seeing things compile, that's great. But when you can actually impact something, make this thing into a motor or a robot or anything, I think that's just fascinating. And it's, again, like I keep saying, I keep saying it's low cost because it's so cheap. Anyone can do it now.
Yeah, also I think there's, you know, software is very important in what we do because in the past, doing electronics meant you knew every single electronic part and you built everything from electronic parts, individual electronic parts, and it was very complicated. Microcontrollers have brought this new way of doing electronics where, you know, you just connect parts directly to the microcontroller and you try to bring everything into the software domain as quickly as you can, and you do the rest of the work in software, which is actually something that you can teach a little bit quicker to beginners than, you know, the behavior of every single electronic component. So this way of like moving everything into the software domain very quickly is what made Arduino possible and makes people, you know, able to learn something over the course of a weekend.
The current Arduino, Ada, I'm looking at the Adafruit site, a good place to get Arduino. They're an official distributor, and we love Adafruit anywhere, but the current Arduino...
We love them too.
Yeah, Lady Ada is a god. She's just great. The current Arduino, the Uno R3, is $30. Assembled, But then you're going to add some stuff to it. So typical Arduino kit might be $50, $60, $70 to add different features, so you can do experimentation with it, and you can end up spending a lot of money. Can you tell me a little bit, what is the difference between something like the Arduino and the Raspberry Pi?
Well, I think they are two different kind of projects. So the Raspberry Pi tries to be like a fully functional computer. So their idea was to make a computer that you could use in education. And that's very, you know, very important to have cheap computers where people can use like applications and learn how to program. The Raspberry Pi is not open source hardware. It runs open source software, but it's not open source hardware. So it's kind of hard to build upon the hardware side. Mm-hmm. And I think their angle is more like, let's try to make it as cheap as possible, but the user experience is less of a concern for them. While in Arduino, we say, well, actually, no, the user experience is much more important than the power. So our processors are incredibly less powerful, you know, but they are small 8-bit processors, but we provide the user experience and out-of-the-box experience, which I think is still unmatched. You connect the cable to the computer, you download the software, 15 minutes later, you're building something. And with the Pi, we're there, definitely not there.
Yeah. So a good place to start would be Massimo's book. O'Reilly has a book about the Arduino. What else do you recommend? And by the way, we should mention that if you want to get one tonight, Radio Shack sells Arduino kits. They're from Mech Magazine, and you can go down and you can get a kit, and there's instructions, and probably everything you need to know is right in there. What other resources do you recommend, Massimo, if people want to know more?
Well, there's a number of tutorials on our website, arduino.cc, but also I would say if you go to the Adafruit website, they have this learned.adafruit.com, which is really amazing. Yeah. They have like a gazillion tutorials. Adafruit also wrote over 100 Arduino libraries.
Wow.
So, you know, they're just amazing contributors to the Arduino project. And so, you know, these guys, they're, you know, like an integral part of the community and one of the engines of the community. So they provide a lot of nice resources. There are a lot of books right now. Honestly, there's a lot of books. I would say when you start to become a little bit more an expert in Arduino and you're trying to solve problems towards building a project, maybe the Arduino Cookbook by Michael Margolis from O'Reilly provides a lot of resources that, you know, once you kind of, you know, lift off, how do you continue kind of growing as a maker? That provides you that step. And also there are books about specialized topics like how to build a wireless sensor network, a book by Rob Faludi. So there's quite a lot. There's probably now 50 books about Arduino. It's just crazy.
That's kind of amazing, isn't it?
I know.
You really started something. Now, the essential design, has it changed much since? I mean, 2004, a lot of changes have happened in the world of technology. Are you using the same processor?
We are using a slightly more powerful version of the original processor on the basic model, which is now called Arduino Uno. But then we have a lot of variations of that. So we have the Arduino in a smaller module, which is called Arduino Mini. We also have the Arduino Mega, which is when you kind of reach the limit of the basic board, then you can buy a bigger board that has much more processor power, and it has a lot more inputs and outputs. And then there is the Arduino Duo, for example, that is now running a 32-bit ARM processor. So again, when you reach the limits, you can switch to 32 bits and do more. Also, I think one of the powerful things about Arduino is this thing that we came up with called shields. There are modules that you can snap on top of your Arduino. And there's probably about 400 of them on the market right now.
Wow.
And they make it very, very easy for you to do a project.
You really created an ecosystem.
As you started something, there's inevitable knockoffs out there. What happens? Well, there are bad Arduino boards out there, but they're not called Arduinos.
They're fake Arduinos that say Arduino. You have on your blog, you have one that has a bad picture of Italy on it, and it claims certification that it's carbon footprint, and also it just lies. And this is sold on Amazon.
Yeah, that's a problem. Amazon is particularly complex to police in terms of trademark, because they basically when you go and you find an Arduino and you buy it, they basically send you one from one of their own. Right. There are many people who have placed an Arduino in the marketplace. So you think you're buying an original one, and every once in a while they send you a fake one. But if you try to say, okay, let's stop the fake ones, they stop everybody, including the good guys.
Right.
So it's a bit of a problem.
I've had that experience with other products. And it's how they source stuff. So they'll have a warehouse, and everybody says Arduino, so they don't care which distributor it came from, and some are more reputable, unfortunately, than others. Go to Adafruit, go to Radio Shack. There are official Arduino distributors, and then you know you're getting an Arduino. But there's your blog, the Hall of Shame, blatant lies.
Well, because that particular picture that you see is from a Chinese board that I got in Shenzhen, which is claiming to be made in Italy, and it claims to be all certified by FCC, which is obviously not, and it even claims to be carbon neutral, which is something that we do. Every single real Arduino is carbon neutral.
Oh, you buy credits?
Actually pay. Yeah, this company called Impatto Zero that you see there means zero impact in Italian. It's a company that basically will plant trees in different parts of the world. So I think it's like half a square meter of forest for every Arduino sold.
Oh, that's neat.
So what happens when you try to use the knockoff? Does it just not work? Because I haven't bought any of these no-name ones. I only bought it from reputable sources. I'm just kind of curious. Is it just a piece of junk or what?
Well, the issue with them is that since they appropriate our name and trademark, they are obviously hiding behind the fact that nobody can really trace back to them very easily. So sometimes they use lower quality components. So this one is crazy. It's just the one on the screen right now is just a crazy copy. But in any case, they sometimes use lower quality parts because sometimes they are much, much cheaper than our product. So obviously, they're doing less careful manufacturing. Also, in some situations, I am also sure they use factories that are not exactly, fairly super high quality, very well made factories. No? So, what happens in certain situations is that people have received these boards, and when they plug them in, they don't work, or they work for a little bit and they fail. So, people don't understand if it's their project or the board that's failing. So, with original Arduino boards, all the distributors are bound by contract that if you say to them, the board you sold me is not working, they have to replace it, no question asked.
That's good.
And then, because I think, that's important.
Yeah.
And of the original Arduino, there's probably only like 0.5% are actually defective. We test every single one of them in the factory. So.
Now, and as you said, it's open source hardware, which is kind of a new idea for me. I know open source software, but anybody could make an Arduino clone completely legally using your own designs, which you give away freely. They just can't label it an Arduino.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's even totally.
Like, don't steal it. Just make one of your own. Now, I love the Arduino logo, which is, I think, the infinity sign with a plus and a minus in it.
Yes. This is the idea that, the possibilities with these kind of technologies are endless.
Yep.
And I wanted to kind of, touch on that.
It says it. It's perfect. Yeah.
We heard a lot of background noise going on because you're at Maker Faire. They're setting up that when we're recording this. What do you plan on showing off at Maker Faire?
So we're showing a couple of new products. The Arduino robot is the first thing we're going to introduce at Maker Faire. And it's actually the product of some work we have done with some kids in Spain who have actually made robots. And they won a lot of competition of this thing called, it's called Robot Cup. And it's essentially robots that play football with each other.
Oh, man.
But it's a competition for kids who are less than 18-year-old. So they are simple sort of robots with wheels that kind of run around. But these guys are, pretty amazing. They make robots out of carbon fiber, so they're doing pretty advanced stuff. And they started off when they were 13, and they learned with an Arduino, and now that they are 18, they've been also world champions for a couple of times. So we work with them, and they designed essentially a commercial version of the robot they made. And And for us, again, what is important is the user experience. So you take this thing out of the box. It's got a little LCD screen with a graphical interface. And there's like a welcome program where you kind of give a name to your robot. And then the robot sort of communicates with you through this graphical interface. And so it comes with 15 different examples on how to use it. So for us, that's very important, that when you get a product, there is a whole path for you to start and learn and kind of progress. And robots, to me, are incredibly good way to engage kids, because you learn about mechanics, you learn about electronics, you learn about software, and you do complex stuff, because motion, it's a complex stuff. If you don't want to do motions well, you have to do math. You have to do trigonometry. You have to do calculus. So, but the kids are learning all of this, but they don't get bored because they have a goal, which is, you know, make this cool robot do good things and incredible, you know, things with the robot. And I think that's important. It's a very good way to learn about math and science and electronics without getting bored.
You said those robots are commercial. They're going to be coming out. You can just buy them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The idea is that you would be able to... You will buy a box. There's going to be a box, and also it comes with a few extra parts that you can plug. The robot itself has got a circular shape, and it's got an area where you can solder other parts, so you can actually hack it. It's designed to be hackable in all possible ways. So, and I think that's also very important. This idea that you provide an experience that just works. And you give them a path to kind of grow, but then it's open-ended. So you can always attach new things, try things out, make experiments.
Anybody doing Arduino in space? Any space projects with Arduino?
Oh, yeah. So there is this thing called Ardusat. It's a company here in the Bay Area, and they actually have designed this platform for small cube satellites that you can send into space very cheaply.
You can send into space.
Well, you know, they send them into space.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to launch them, am I?
No, but these CubeSats, they have a very, they've been done quite a few times in the past by different universities.
Oh, okay.
They are reasonably cheap to launch into space because they use very little space in the whatever rocket. Normally the rocket launches a more important payload, right. And then it has a few of these CubeSats. So this CubeSat has Arduino running inside so that you can actually run experiments in space because the Arduino is filled up with sensors. So what they do, they basically provide these kits that schools can buy. They can prepare experiments on the simulator in school, and then they can actually get time to upload their experiments over to the satellite. So, you know, as a high school, you can actually prepare and run experiments on a satellite in space. And I think that's, again, pretty amazing to engage kids and tell them, you know, we can do space stuff, no problem. Here's the Arduino, program it, and then upload the file into space.
That is so neat. That is so amazing.
Ardusat, it's the name of the project.
You don't feel that using shields is cheating. I see that somebody's Twine is selling. You can have a Twine box connected to an Arduino. It seems like that's cheating.
No, I don't think it's cheating. I think that it's a very important... Well, if you put it, let's put it this way. When the Apple II came out, I think one of the very important features that made it into a timeless machine is the fact that it had this expansion slot.
Right.
And then people started, a whole industry was born to sell these expansion cards for the Apple II. And that translated into the IBM PC. The IBM PC, you know, people bought all these expansion cards, and it was very important. It was a huge market back then. So I think the shields, they kind of feel they kind of are part of that idea that you can make modular hardware and you can expand it, and the idea is also that Arduino users, they're different from like electronic geeks. They use Arduino because they want to build something. Mm. So using a shield and a board will basically create a shortcut that takes you closer to what you want to build. And I think that's quite important. It's different than being, you know, getting very excited about a line of code. It's more about getting excited about a project that you want to build. And then the way you get there is not very important. The important is how you achieve at the end.
Right. Really, and that's the whole makers thing, isn't it? Is is what can we make with this thing? Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I think the Arduino is like a hammer. I like to be able like to make something happen, and
right.
actually it works that way. The silliest project that I'm going to do in real life with an Arduino is I'm going to have an automatic drape opener.
Because when the sun goes up, you open the drape. So it goes down, you close the drape.
I could connect it to IFT, I guess, too. I was just going to do it with a remote, but that's even better.
That would be better. And but, can you connect it to IFT, this and that?
I believe I've seen combinations of the Raspberry Pi attached to our Arduino that makes that servo move. Because you can combine all this stuff because everything's just so easy to combine. I love the fact that this stuff has become so low cost and so capable of doing anything. The fact that you can do it in space, I don't think I would need that in space, but that sounds amazing.
So we have a pretty geeky chat room, Massimo. Many of them are Arduino hackers. They have some questions for you. 4739 is asking why you chose the AVR chip and not a PIC.
Well, my original experiments were based on a PIC, but we couldn't find a proper open source compiler, C compiler for the PIC, because, you know, from the beginning, Arduino was designed to run on Windows, Mac, and Linux, because a lot of my students were on Mac. And, you know, hardware, professional hardware that you buy still has serial ports.
Right.
And I haven't seen a serial port in
Not
years.
A long time, no.
So we designed something that was compact, USB-based, and could run on a multitude of operating systems. And back then, there wasn't open source C compiler that we could use on multiple platforms. They were really, really, they was actually working. There was a few of them, but they were kind of... Well, the AVR had this AVR GCC that was very powerful, and the community behind the AVR GCC has done an amazing work. So, you know, not only we could use C, but we also had a functioning C++ compiler that made the whole language even simpler to read. So that's the reason.
And the wiring project that was kind of the source of the software for this?
Yeah, I mean, the wiring project is actually the product of a thesis that a student of mine made. So it was me and another professor called Casey Rees that teaches at UCLA, and the two of us were the thesis advisors. So previously I had developed other platforms that were like the grandfather of Arduino, and I used them with my students. Then we worked on a thesis with the student, and then after the student finished the thesis, we used the output of that research to make an open source version of what he had built, and we built Arduino from that. So it's a classic process that you do in research. You build upon the work of other people and you sort of make your own
right
work.
In fact, Casey's project was processing, and then there was wiring.
So it's got a
nice lineage, but it still is kind of amazing to think that this first board was built way back, I mean, 8 years ago in 2005. And it still has complete relevance today with only minor changes, right? I mean, it's essentially the same.
Yeah, I think it's important. It tells you something about technology. The fact that when you care about the user experience and things just, you know, work, you don't need an incredibly powerful piece of hardware.
Interesting.
In order to make interesting stuff. Like, a lot of people are getting excited now about the Raspberry Pi because maybe they have a background in software, so they find it obviously much more convenient to use a scripting language and to program in Python. So for that kind of people, it's much better. But for the kind of people we work with, it's actually better to have something which is a lot simpler. And you can start very simply. You make an LED blink, and then you're going to go step by step, and you build up your skills. And then you see people squeezing every bit of energy out of the processor because they understand it very well.
This is like turning to that modern transistor radio set I used to get at Radio Shack. I used to have one of those radio ones and build that, and that's great and everything, but it was very limited.
All you can do is that.
It's a radio, but not with Arduino.
More with Massimo Bonzi in just a bit, the creator of the Arduino, an amazing fellow. But first, I want to talk a little bit about Audible.com, one of our longest-term sponsors, because they know if you listen to podcasts, you're probably a pretty good candidate to listen to audiobooks. In fact, I can't believe you're not yet an Audible subscriber. If you are already, you don't have to listen. But if you're not, Man, what are you waiting for? 100,000 books, more than that, fiction, nonfiction, thrillers, biography. I listen to a lot of history and current events stuff. Frankly, I'd fall asleep if I had to read it in a book form. But when I'm in the car or at the gym, when I'm doing something that, you know, is boring or mindless, listening to audiobooks just engages me, keeps me awake, keeps me paying attention. And best of all, it keeps me learning, keeps my mind flexible. People often say, how do you stay up on all this stuff? I read a lot from Audible.com. I have been since 2000. I've been an Audible member for almost 13 years now. I want you to try it absolutely free. You can sign up for the 30-day Gold account to give you a chance to listen to almost any book in the audio library for free. You cancel it within the first 30 days. You'll pay nothing. That book will always be yours to keep. Here's the special address. It's audiblepodcast.com/triangulation. Dan Brown's Inferno. Amazing. Amazing. Listen. Audiblepodcast.com. Audiblepodcast.com/triangulation. And this is a special offer just for our Triangulation listeners, so there's absolutely no charge to get started. Any book, any one-credit book, and that's almost all of them, for free, for 30 days, audiblepodcast.com/triangulation. Now, back to Triangulation.
We're talking to the co-founder of the Arduino Project, open-source hardware, the kind of one of the original open-source hardware projects, Massimo Bonzi, on Triangulation. Really glad that Ayaz Akhtar could join us. So even though we're very simple, people are doing very what are some of the more complex things people are doing with Arduino today?
Well, I would say one of the most complex things that people are doing is this this project like ArduPilot. Essentially, they're autopilot for airplanes and helicopters. Obviously, they are model airplanes, so they're what they call drones.
Right.
But, you know,
that's pretty sophisticated.
Yes, it is very sophisticated. It contains very, very high-end algorithms that years ago used to be military stuff. And now, you know, you have very talented people in this community called DIY Drones that really work on the code, and they have enabled these devices to fly. You can even instruct these quadcopters to fly but completely by themselves from one point to another just by giving them GPS coordinates. And what's amazing is that, you know, the people who are in this community, they are like serious, serious engineers, that they are pouring all this, work into this open source platform. And you know, the code they're doing is pretty advanced. They're really squeezing every bit of power out of the Arduino processor. So I think that's one of the most advanced things that people have done.
When I first saw these DIY drones, I did see them at Maker Faire. I thought, this is crazy. There's no way this is going to work. They're not powered by that. Not possible. Completely wrong. I love the fact that I'm wrong about that, because that is a really complex thing that you're doing with, again, I keep saying low-cost hardware, because anybody can do this if they wanted to.
There's an Arducopter, a helicopter based on Arduino. It's mm-hmm. It's really quite impressive.
It's actually this kind of helicopter. It's a model helicopter that uses multiple propellers to kind of float, and it would be impossible to basically just control it with a regular remote control,
right? It's
because the variables are too many.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is that once you create a platform like that just for fun, then people start to think, hey, wait a second. We have a device that costs a few $100s that can be powered by electricity, maybe charged by solar power, and flies wherever I send it to just by typing a coordinate. So, for example, there is this company in Palo Alto just started called MatterNet, and they used the concept of the drone to imagine a network of these flying drones maybe delivering medicines between different villages in Africa, for example. So they're really trying to imagine how they can use that platform to create a cheap communication network in places that are hard to reach.
Wow, that is a great idea. I love that. Delivering medicine.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? It's not just hobbyists. This is world-changing stuff. So what is next for you? Are you becoming? You're obviously the Arduino ambassador. What are you? Is that what you're going to continue to do? What would you like to do next?
Well, you know, at the moment I'm also the CEO of the company.
It's a business. Company, yeah.
Yes, the company is probably expanding quite a bit, and I'm not 100% sure I am the kind of right CEO for a company with that many people. But, you know, what I like to do is work on the products and to go around and, explain what we do to people and engage people.
Wonderful.
To our project. I mean, at the moment, we are about 30 people, and we have people working in the U.S., in Sweden, in Italy, and we have now an office opening in India in about a couple of weeks from now, and we're looking at opening an office in Brooklyn. So, you know, there's quite a lot of stuff going on.
Good. I'm not trying to get you off the Arduino project by any means, but I'm just curious where it heads next. It's been such a pleasure talking to you. You got any final questions you'd like to ask?
Well, I'm kind of curious. You expanded. You said going to Brooklyn now? You guys going to have an office in New York? I'm from New York, so I'm very curious about this. You're going to have some nerds with some heavy accents, well, different style of accents, actually.
Hey, there's good Italian food in Brooklyn.
There's fantastic food in Brooklyn. I'm just curious about the expansion in the U.S.
Well, yeah, if you look at it, there's a specific area of Brooklyn where actually it's becoming some kind of a cluster of makers.
Yes.
So you have MakerBot, you have NYC Resistor, you have GenSpace, you have a lot of other companies that are happening in the area sort of around Atlantic. And so, you know, we have an office in Italy where we combine a makerspace, a Fab Lab, and an Arduino office. So the people can come in and hang out with the people that work with us. And that experience worked out very well. So we have replicated that in Sweden, and it worked very well. So we want to have maybe four or five places around the world where Arduino interacts with the local community and builds upon, you know, the office in India, again, will be used really to engage the local makers and see what we can design together that we can make global. We already found some amazing stuff designed in India that we want everybody to play with. And the same for China. We don't want to go to China to make in China to sell to the rest of the world. We want to go to China to understand what we can do together and innovate with China and do locally. So Brooklyn is one of the most interesting places for me at the moment.
That sounds fantastic.
It is such a pleasure talking to you, Massimo. We're so grateful for this project, and I know it must feed you to see all the things people are doing with their Arduinos.
Yeah,
it's pretty exciting. Massimo,
it's amazing.
Arduino.cc is the home of Arduino, but as I mentioned, Arduino is everywhere. There's a bunch of O'Reilly books, No Starch Press books about Arduino projects. Make Magazine, of course, is a great place to go. Maker Faire, an even better place to go. And if there's a Maker Faire near you, just go and be inspired and excited and amused and entertained. And, of course, Radio Shack has Arduino. So does Adafruit, adafruit.com, if you want to check out all the shields. They have 31 different shields, 12 accessories, 17 boards and packs. There's quite a bit of Arduino activity at Adafruit Industries. Massimo, thank you so much. Have a wonderful Maker Faire.
Thank you.
Thank you for talking to us. We do triangulation every Wednesday around about 3 p.m., 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern time, 2200 UTC. Please stop by. Every week there's something fabulous. You can find out more online at twit.tv/TRI. Download audio or video versions of all of our shows. And I hope you will, because we've had some wonderful guests on. And I want to thank you. You find Isaac Tar Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern time on TNT. And Know-How's every Thursday afternoon.
Thursday, yeah. And the more I get to know about Arduinos,
we've got to do more on Know-How with Arduino.
Oh, yeah. We've got so many things in the pipeline right now. So it's coming.
All right.
Promise.
We're going to open his curtains next on Know-How. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Triangulation.